Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week as we get into 2022. We're about halfway through the first month of the year. Time certainly feels like it's flying, but from a volume perspective, things are just sort of slowly grinding into gear. Carload intermodal volumes have had a slow bounce back out of the Christmas and New Year's holiday. Some of that was related to weather in the beginning of the year, but some of that is just a sluggish start for things as congestion still mars large portions of the rail network. You still have weather-related issues across much of the country. Now it's getting cold again along the Gulf Coast. I feel like we've seen this movie before. Maybe not to the same degree as last year, but certainly the script feels familiar. If you were with us last year and you know what happened in February, it feels like we've seen this movie. Maybe a less severe version of it this year, but certainly things that are going to affect rail service, slow things down when you have wide swings in temperature from 70 degrees one day to 30 the next. That increases your likelihood of broken rails. That increases your need for speed restrictions, that increases your need for track inspections that take track out of service in regions that don't normally get that kind of cold weather. And so we're certainly going to have some ongoing disruptions as we go through the next several weeks, particularly as it stays cold in these areas through the end of the month. Intermodal loadings, looking at intermodal, we've bounced back off of where we were the first week of the year, but we're still below the five-year average. We're still more than 10% below where we were this time last year. So yes, we're improving. Are we at a great spot? Are we at a spot that people would be proud of, the people would feel good about? Not really. So it really is, and across not just intermodal, but across the color commodities as well, it really is that sort of glass half full, glass half empty picture. If you want to relish in the increase sequentially, you can do that. That is in the numbers. That is there. If you want to look at where we are relative to the five-year average, relative to where we are last year, and take a more negative outlook on things, certainly there is data and support for that outlook as well. So it really is a glass half full, glass half empty outlook, depending on how you want to view things. Breaking intermodal down a little bit, the trailer market is not as rosy a picture. We have not seen the same amount of increase week to week sequentially, and we have much more of a delta compared to where we are relative to the five-year average. On a year-over-year basis, we are still over 10% down from where we were the same period last year. It's not the 20 or 23% that we were last week, but it's not a great number. It's not a happy number. It's not a number that folks would feel good about in the intermodal space, in the trailer space. Containers, as you would expect, really largely the same trajectory as overall intermodal, because containers are 90% of the overall intermodal market. If containers and intermodal aren't trending the same way, that would be a cause for concern. That would be something to make us say there's something wrong in the data somewhere, but that's not what we're seeing. We had a nice increase week to week in the container market, and we're a little bit below our five-year average, but we're certainly better than we were to start the year. Now, there is still congestion. There is still widespread disruption in supply chain. There is still widespread shifting, widespread market share movement from west to east. And that movement from west coast ports to east coast ports is a net negative for intermodal. The more goods that come into the east coast, the more likely those goods are to be moved by truck and never see the railhead. So that is a net negative for intermodal as the west coast ports lose share, which is what we've seen over the last few quarters when you look at the numbers. The west coast ports have lost share. The east and Gulf Coast ports have gained share. And it really has been those northeast and southeast ports, New York, New Jersey, Savannah, Charleston, Miami, places like that. It really hasn't been places like Houston, although Houston has seen a large surge in its import loadings because of Houston's geographic issues, because you've got the ship channel, because you have to come so far back west from the mouth of the Panama Canal or so far west from an all-water routing through the Suez. It really doesn't make sense for Houston's imports to continue at this rate over the long term. It's something that folks are so desperate to avoid congestion that they are looking to alternative ports. But particularly on the Gulf Coast, it's going to be hard-pressed to see that volume continue over the longer term. Certainly, if you're serving that Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin market, that sort of triangle in Texas that's growing a great deal, particularly with the announcement that Meta, the parent company of Facebook, is going to open a large office in Austin. There's going to be more people coming in. There's going to be more demand there, but it's never going to be the demand center that we see in Metro New York or that we see in Southern California. So while interports will probably grow, they're never going to be huge. It's always going to be an export-driven conversation in Houston, particularly around the chemical and petrochemical sectors. Switching gears, moving to the carload markets, moving away from intermodal, away from the ports. Carload volumes, as we talked about, is really the same story as intermodal. We have a glass half full, glass half empty picture. We had a nice rebound from where we were the first week of the year, but we're still down 5% from last year. We're still well below the five-year average. So yes, there's a good sequential increase. Yes, that's positive. But when you look on a more overall basis compared to where we were last year or where we've been historically, certainly carload is not where folks would like it to be, not where folks would look at it and say, this is a good number, this is a growth number, this is a number that we're going to use to springboard into the rest of the year from. It is a number that we are going to work off over the course of the year and try to improve upon, but it's not a number that inspires a whole lot of confidence, that gives people a sense that growth is here to stay. More concerning for the carload markets is that when you look at economically sensitive freight, is that it's a little bit weaker than the overall carload pattern. Yes, we saw the same sort of sequential week-to-week uptick. Yes, we're still down below our five-year average, but we're down year-over-year more than the overall carload markets. We're down closer to 7% in economically sensitive freight. As a reminder, when we talk about economically sensitive freight here at FTR, we talk about the coal. We take out the coal. We take out the agriculture. We take out the petroleum. We're looking at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like pulp and paper, things like automotive, lumber and wood, metals, crushed stone and gravel, those sorts of sectors. So we don't get the sort of distortions that you can get when you include the commodity markets, when you include the bulk markets in there. And it is not even as rosy a picture as overall carload. Normally, you expect economically sensitive freight to fare better than the overall carload markets, particularly when you think about coal being in secular decline. You would expect when you take that out, this number would be better than overall carload, and unfortunately, it is not, and it has not been really for the last several quarters. That is something that if you're a shipper or if you're a railroad, should cause you to lose some sleep at night, because it says that shippers that have jump ball freight, that can use truck, that can use rail, that they're not bringing their products to the railhead. They're seeking alternate means to get their products to market. That is something that we need to think about. That is something that we need to discuss as we go forward. So let's switch to those bulk sectors. Let's talk about the coal markets. And coal saw a really healthy jump sequentially, a significant jump. It moved positive on a year-over-year basis, up over 10% compared to where we were the same week last year. But we're still below the five-year average. Now, being below the five-year average in coal is not surprising. We're not going to get back to some of the coal levels that we saw historically. As additional plants close, as natural gas remains competitive in a lot of regions, particularly with natural gas prices coming back to the $3.50, $4 per MMBTU range, that puts pressure on coal. So you're not going to see it go back to the five-year average levels. But the fact that we're positive year over year, the fact that we've seen a little bit of a sequential uptick is, at least for the moment, a positive story. Now, as we've said before, we expect coal to have a couple of good quarters here to start the year. We do not expect that to hold for the full year. We do not expect that to hold as we go through the longer term. Coal is in a secular decline. That story has not changed. You will continue to see more plants retire. You will continue to see natural gas and renewables take a bigger and bigger share of the electricity dispatch stack. But at least in the immediate term, certainly coal is primed for a couple of good weeks, particularly given the cold weather that we've seen. Now, the cold weather is negative for a lot of reasons, for rail service, for additional issues, for not being able to move as long a train, as big a train. However, you also have the ability that it stimulates heating demand, and you have additional natural gas demand that pushes prices up. You have additional electricity demand that increases coal loadings. It's really the one commodity group that you look at and say, the cold weather, the raw temperatures are a positive thing for the railroads. It's really the one commodity group where that falls into that category for. The other major bulk story, grain, is really a disappointment so far through the year. We're down almost 25% each of the first 2 weeks of the year. Yes, we saw a little bit of a sequential increase, but it's not nearly the magnitude that you've seen in other commodity groups. We're not back to where we were during the harvest. We're not back to where we were, where we'd expect to be on a five-year average basis. Grain is challenged to start the year. Now, there are some mitigating factors. You had a small crop in Canada this year. You've had some weather-related disruptions getting goods to ports in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. as well as to Western Canada that have held back volumes. There are some mitigating factors, but as we go through the year, particularly with a strong harvest expected in South America as we get into February, it'll be very interesting to watch this number for grain and see what it does. So going back into carload freight, going back into the economically sensitive categories, chemicals. Chemicals has been a leader for the carload markets over the last several years, and it continues to be so as we start 2022. We're above the five-year average. We saw sequential growth. We are a little bit above our five-year average, not by a lot, but when you look at other carload commodities that are well below their five-year average or struggling to attain their five-year average, the fact that we're above our historical expectation in chemicals is a good thing, is a good sign, even though we're down 3% year over year. So there is additional room to grow. There's additional volume to be had in the chemical space as we go through the weeks and months ahead. Petroleum products loadings surged really week to week sequentially, but we're still below the five-year average. We're still about 8% down year over year. Now, with the crude price being above $80 a barrel, you should see some additional momentum. You should see additional volume in this category as we go through the year, and we should break through that five-year average number, particularly as we get to the back half of the first quarter, early second quarter. We should be able to outpace the five-year average, given where crude prices are. Now, crude prices are volatile. All commodity prices are volatile, and they're highly fickle, and they have a direct impact on how much moves across both the rail system and the pipeline system. And so a small change in the price of crude could alter that expectation. But right now, with crude prices going up, we expect to see this number continue to grow as we go forward through the balance of 2022. Stone, sand, and gravel. We talked about this toward the end of 2021, that it was performing well, that it was above its five-year average for the first time in a long time. It kept that posture through the first week of the year. The second week of the year, we saw an increase, but it didn't keep pace with that five-year average, though it is fairly close to its historical average. And on a year-over-year basis, we're up over 9%. So certainly there is some momentum in stone, sand, and gravel compared with 2021 as we start the new year. We'll have to see as we get into the construction season, does that keep pace? We normally see a seasonal uptick in this commodity group in the late first, early second quarter as construction projects start to get underway. And we'll have to see as we get to that point, do we see sustained upward momentum here? Lumber and wood is really right at its five-year average. It increased notably sequentially, but still down about 5% year over year. And one of those commodity groups that is going to have some headwinds, particularly when you think about mortgage rates, when you think about what the Fed's doing with rates, when you think about inflation, that's going to push mortgage rates up. That's going to have an impact on the housing market. Lumber and wood is a major input into housing. What does that do as we go forward? Right now, it's probably going to hold it close to its five-year average as we go through the year. Pulp and paper. Pulp and paper was an interesting commodity group. It was one of the few commodities that actually took a step down in the latest week when you look sequentially. It moved down from its start of the year. It moved further away from its five-year average, down a full 9% from where it was just this time last year, nearly doubling its year-over-year decline sequentially to start the year. So pulp and paper is one of those categories that ended the year weak, has started the year weaker, and we'll have to see where does it stabilize? Where does it end out? Does it get all the way down below 7,000 carloads a week, or does it hold a little bit above that? We'll just have to see. Right now, it appears to be on a decline that doesn't have an end. We will look for that in the weeks and months ahead. Automotive volumes certainly bounce up sequentially. The year-over-year increase, still down 12% compared to last year. That's better than the 18% that we were down in the first week of the year, but still not a number anybody wants to write home about in this space. Of course, as we've talked about before, this really isn't a rail issue. This isn't a congestion issue. This isn't a rail share issue. This is the automotive manufacturers aren't able to get the parts they need, notably semiconductors, to be able to increase their production rates. When they do, we expect the carload volumes to move well above the five-year average to see some strong gains. Until we get there, this is going to be under pressure. We originally thought we were going to see some momentum start to build as we got to the second half of the year, the late second quarter into the second half. Now, with all of the questions around semiconductor plants in China, particularly as China prepares for the Olympics, as China prepares to implement additional COVID measures to combat Omicron, what does that mean for production facilities? What does that mean for factories where these chips are produced? It could extend the timeline out before supply normalizes, and that will have a downstream effect on when automotive production can kick back up into high gear and when these rail loadings numbers can get back to the five-year average, if not well above the five-year average. We'll take a wait and see on that as we go forward. So to wrap up, you've got the intermodal and carload volumes starting the year pretty slowly. Now, there's, as I said, it's a glass half full, glass half empty phenomenon, depending on, yes, there is nice improvement compared to where we were in the first week of the year, but we're not where we would be historically. We're not where we would expect to be compared to last year. There are ongoing disruptions that have to be worked through, and we have to see some additional momentum in this space as we go forward, and service continues to be an issue. There continue to be ongoing weather issues across the country. Now you've got a major cold snap across much of the country. We're going to have to see what that means going forward. What does that do for us? What does that do for service? What does that do for volumes as we go forward over the next several weeks through really the dead of winter here, the end of January through the first part of February? We'll just have to see what that does for rail volumes, what that does for rail service as we go forward in time. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. As always, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you ever want to talk about the industry, what you're seeing in the reports, what you're hearing in the podcast, what your particular transportation situation is. We're always happy to talk about the markets, talk about what you're seeing. Remember, we love to reach out. Feel free to reach out anytime. We do live to talk about these issues. And with that, I will wrap up with one special note. Next week on the podcast, we will have with us a very special guest, Association of American Railroads President and Chief Executive Ian Jeffries will join us to talk about the numbers as well as talk about the attitude inside the Beltway as we get into 2022 and what the railroads are focused on from a volume perspective as well as a regulatory and legislative perspective. You won't want to miss that conversation next week on the State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.